Federal intelligence picked up this movement of the reinforcements from Lee to Bragg, but picked it up a little too late. Troops ordered to Rosecrans to counter these reinforcements for Bragg wouldn't arrive in time to participate in the big battle that was looming not far ahead. What Bragg hoped to do, he knew that Rosecrans was scattered around a good part of North Georgia. He hoped to hit pieces of the Union Army before those pieces could come together. In other words, to strike in detail at his opponent's army. Get in behind the Federals, he hoped, and cut them off from access to Chattanooga and the Tennessee River. Isolate them in the rugged country of northwest Georgia. That's what each side is trying to do. Let's move on now to the Battle of Chickamauga. Rosecrans figured out just in time that he might be in some danger, and he pulled his army back together. By September 17th, he had about 58,000 men in position a few miles south of Chattanooga in the valley of Chickamauga Creek. Chickamauga is an Indian word. You'll read in many of the accounts, it's an Indian word that means river of death. Well, I really wonder about that. It seems that most of the Indian words that have any meaning in the Civil War mean river of death or ledge of death or place where people die or something like that. And I wonder whether that is people naming those in retrospect or giving a meaning to those words in retrospect. I'm doubtful whether that's what Chickamauga really means, but that's what soldiers later pretended that it meant. For our purposes, it doesn't matter what the word really meant. All that matters is that is where Rosecrans is marshaling his army in the valley of Chickamauga Creek. When Longstreet's men, the two-thirds of them that got up in time to fight in the battle, were present, Bragg had nearly 70,000 soldiers. It's one of the very unusual times in the war when a major Confederate army outnumbers its Union opponent in one of the big battles of the conflict. Bragg's plan called for an advance through part of Rosecrans's line to interpose the Army of Tennessee between the Federals and Chattanooga, after which the Confederates would try to drive the Federals into a place called McLemore's Cove, a cul-de-sac where the Union troops would have a very difficult time escaping from the encircling Confederates. The terrain around Chickamauga Creek was heavily wooded, much like the terrain at Shiloh. There was light skirmishing on September 18th. The battle proper began on September 19th, and it began much the way the Battle of Gettysburg had begun. Nathan Bedford Forrest's cavalry, some of it, ran into Union infantry, and as at Gettysburg, each side hurried reinforcements forward, and what had begun as a skirmish escalated into a battle as the fighting spread and intensified. The Confederates kept trying to get around the Union left flank, again, to get in between the Federals and the road to Chattanooga. But the action was confused because of the terrain. There were nasty little fights between brigades, even regiments, sometimes divisions that would flare up and then die down. John Hood's division from Lee's army had a little bit of success on that day, but neither side really gained the upper hand, and the fighting came to a halt at the end of the day on the 19th as each side braced for an even bigger battle the next day. Longstreet arrived that night, sort of stumbled through the dark. There was no one to meet him at the little train station. He didn't know where Bragg's headquarters were. He got in late. He made his way through the dark. He and a staff officer finally found Bragg's headquarters. Had a discussion, and Bragg announced that Longstreet would be given half of the army on the next day. Longstreet doesn't even know what's going on, basically, but he's going to command the left wing of Bragg's army. Bishop Polk will command the right. And the plan is that the assaults, the Confederate assaults on the 20th, would begin on Polk's flank and work their way down the line toward Longstreet's end of the line, engaging the Federals all along this very extensive battle line. That was the plan. That's not how the fight worked out on the 20th. Bragg woke up. He'd hoped to have the assaults begin early, and he listened, and there was no sound of firing from his right flank, and he waited, and no sound. He sent couriers. Couldn't find out what was happening with Polk. Finally, a staff officer found Polk at his headquarters. Polk and a coterie of his people were sitting around tables having an enormous breakfast.